Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and it is a blessing that we have come together again by faith as the days have progressed, as God has continued to keep us in the shadow or under the shadow of his wing. We come together again, my brothers and sisters, to learn, to receive, and to take heed to what the Word of God teaches us. So I pray and hope that your day has been a blessed day, as mine has. So let's go to the Lord in prayer so that we could dive right in to our lesson for today. Again, I'm your host, Carnita Smith, and we're going to whisper a little word of prayer to the Lord, our Savior. So if you would, bow with me. Lord God, we are here today to lift up holy hands to you and say thank you. We honor you, we glorify you, and we lift your name on high. Because of who you are, we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord, if you would walk us through the pages of your scripture and breathe on us today, fill us with your love and your Holy Spirit today. Revive us today through your Holy Spirit, that we would see the very thing that you want us to see in Scripture today. Lord, move through us. Speak through us. Most of all, Lord, grow us. Increase in us that we would go and grow in grace, that others would proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We bless you, we love you, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives while we are patiently waiting and expecting the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want us to dive into the scriptures concerning part four of our teaching lesson, our teaching today, when you're in the waiting room. Now, I hope you've had an opportunity to listen to last week's lesson, part three, and we focused on the area of discipline, our display, our habit while we are in the waiting. And we looked at how our habits should reflect, or our discipline should reflect, the fruit of the Spirit. When we are in a waiting room experience, a holding pattern, when we are waiting for a time and change to come. And I've made mention that it may not be the most pleasant thing when we are in a waiting experience or waiting room experience. It may not be as pleasant as we would like for it to be, but the focus was, what are we doing? What are our deeds while we're in the waiting room? I encourage you to go back and listen to part three of this teaching series so that you can catch up and familiarize yourself. But today, we're going to focus on consequences of our discipline. The consequences of our discipline. And looking at some of the Bible characters in Scripture who did not wait on God. I talked about last broadcast when we focused on Abram and Sarai, or Abraham and Sarah, when they did not wait on God. They took matters in their own hands while they were in their waiting room experience. And we may know the story or very familiarized with the story of how Abraham and Sarah were well in their years of age. And when Sarah came up with a proposal for Abraham to listen to and agree with, and he did, Abraham agreed that she would, or he would, lay with Sarah's maidservant, Hagar, that a child would come through her womb instead of Sarah's womb, and they would have a son produced by a maidservant or through her womb. And of course, that is going before God and not waiting, meaning you're jumping the gun or you're trying to handle things yourself, which always makes a bigger mess. When God says wait, then we are to wait on the Lord, wait on God. And keep in mind, it is not an easy thing to do. It can be challenging from time to time. It can be unrestful. So many things can happen while we are in a waiting room experience or a holding pattern, if you will. But God wants to teach us, grow us, discipline us, and most of all, stretch our faith, that our faith would be sure-footed and deep-rooted in Him, regardless of the waiting room experience, whether it be not so easy, uncomfortable feelings, uncertainties, or it could be full of joy and praise and excitement and everything is going fine. It just depends on which side of the scale your waiting room experience is. But we're going to look at some more Bible characters did not display good deeds. They took matters in their own hands and they just wanted to do their own thing. So let's dive into Scripture and look at what characters refused to wait on the Lord. So now our launch pad or our foundational Scripture is Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The Scripture that this lesson is anchored in. Now it's the passage of Isaiah 40, but verses 1 through 31. but focusing on 31. So I encourage you to read the entire passage. It is good food for the soul so that we can stay focused on who we should keep our trust in, as 31 says. And I talk about time, timing, and tarrying with the Lord while we're in the waiting room or waiting on His perfect timing, no matter how long it takes, or His time is the perfect time. He is an on-time God, even though we may want things faster than His time. We struggle with waiting, which comes alongside with one of the fruits of the Spirit called patience. Having patience, and while we are having patience in our waiting room experience, it triggers self-control. Listen to what patience is. Patience is the state of assurance, lack of fear, and a sense of contentment. It is fellowship, harmony, and unity between individuals. Peace is freedom from worry, disturbance, and oppression and oppressive thoughts. Now that's peace. But let me read what patience is. Peace is another fruit of the Spirit, a good one, to be content while we're in the waiting room and have unity between people. Because sometimes our waiting experience can cause us to get a little unfriendly. Patience, slow to speak and slow to anger. Patience is a slowness in avenging wrongs. It is the quality of restraint that prevents believers from speaking or acting hastily in the face of disagreement, opposition, or persecution. Patience is bearing pain or problems without complaining. Now, that's interesting, because when we're in a holding pattern or a waiting room experience, sometimes we may want to speak out and get angry. Let me give you an example. When we go for our doctor's appointment and we sign in at the front desk, letting them know that we are arrived for our appointed time, and we work really hard to get to our appointment on time, so that we could be seen on time, and so that we can leave our appointment as quickly as possible. So we arrive, we sign in until we are called. And so we may notice the TV on the wall, so we won't be clock watching, we watch the TV. They put those in there for a reason. Because sometimes our waiting in the waiting room may take longer than we anticipate. But nevertheless, the TV is there for us to watch it and not our clock. So we glance at our watch, and 5 minutes, 10 minutes or so has passed. and they have not called our name. So we continue to watch the TV or read a book, grab a magazine, whatever occupies our time to keep us from watching the clock. So we glance at the clock a second time and we notice that 15, 20 minutes has passed and we still have not been called in to the back our room. So we wait again. Now our patience is becoming, or it's getting tested. And we notice that 30 minutes to 35 minutes has passed. So we get antsy, we get a little irritable, and we start holding conversations in our mind to ourselves. And of course, when we hold conversations in our mind to ourselves, then it triggers other things such as anger, impatience. We may have a little temper. We may be saying things that are not pleasant or pleasing. And then it propels us to get up out of our seat and go check with the person at the front desk and ask them, why is it taking so long for you to call me? And then she gives us an answer. And it may be one concerning the doctor is running behind schedule, or the doctor may not be in the office yet. He's on his way. So it can just propel several things to be triggered in our minds. Your seat, or you can walk out, or you could reschedule another day. So most of us take our seat. As we take our seat, we sit there, and then we may even start feeling warm because of the anger that is within inside us. So we don't like the way we feel right now while we're waiting now 45 minutes. So finally we've been called, Mrs. Jones, and we jump up and we almost run to the door to get our vital signs taken and our height and weight taken, so that we can move into the next room as quickly as possible, hoping that the doctor would not take another 30 to 45 minutes to see me. And as they place us in the room, ask us a few questions, where are we now? We are sitting and waiting for the doctor to come to the room. We've moved from one waiting room to the next waiting room. And there, we try to do other things to occupy our thoughts or our time until the doctor comes in. So do you see where I'm going with this waiting room experience? It doesn't feel good at times, but when our expectations is to get into the doctor's office, sit for about 3 to 4 or 5 minutes, no more than 5 minutes, jump up as they've called our name, run to the back, sit in the waiting room, wait another 2 or 3, maybe 5 minutes for the doctor to come in so that we can pay our copay and dart the door to be on our merry way. A total of 10 minutes at a doctor's office. Very unrealistic. But that is our expectation, is to get in as quickly as possible, get there early with the hope that I can leave early, and it doesn't happen. This is how we do God, the same way. We do Him in a rush, rush, hurry, hurry, come now, fix it now, God, kind of attitude. And our deeds show what we're thinking. We get there on time to the doctor's office with the hope that they'll call us early into the doctor's office, that the doctor will come quickly, see us in the doctor's office, waiting for him to tell us what we want to hear, and then we pay and leave. Patience is something that we have to really work on. And self-control, of course, is another character trait, fruit of the Spirit, that really needs to be shaped. Use these fruit on the inside for the outside. So now let's look at Scripture. These waiting room experiences come in many colors. And I've had my time with them, but I thank God for everyone. It stretches us, increases our faith, it disciplines us, it gives us perseverance, it humbles us, and most of all, it should anchor us in Him and Him alone. So I said, Abraham and Sarah, they went way before God, trying to create something in their own strength that God promised them would happen. And, of course, the consequences of what they did are in Genesis 16, verses 1 through 6. So we've read that on last week, and I encourage you to reread it. So I'm going to move forward with some other characters in Scripture concerning their consequences of not waiting on God. So let's look at Moses. Moses is the one who God used to bring the Israelites up out of Egypt. And we're going to look at Moses while they were in the wilderness. And we're going to look at chapter 20 in the book of Numbers. So if you would get your Bibles, Old Testament scripture, Old Testament passage, Numbers, and walk with me to chapter 20. And I'm going to read this in one of my favorite translations, the New Living Translation. Follow along in yours. And let's look at how Moses struck the rock. Now, we can read the previous chapters, and I encourage you to do so. But let's start in verse 1 of Numbers 20 this way. In the first month of the year, the whole community of Israel arrived in the wilderness of Zin and camped at Kadesh. While they were there, Miriam died and was buried. Now, Miriam was Moses' sister. She died and was buried. No water for the people to drink at that place. So they rebelled. And keep in mind the word rebel, because we'll hear that in other passages that we read today. But they rebelled against Moses and Aaron. Aaron was Moses' brother. We can see what happened. There was no water for the people to drink, and at the place where they were, and they rebelled against Moses. They were throwing a hissy fit. They were complaining. They were angry, upset. Now, verse 3, the people blamed Moses and said, "If only we had died in the Lord's presence with our brothers. Why have you brought the congregation of the Lord's people into this wilderness to die, along with all our livestock? Why did you make us leave Egypt and bring us here to this terrible place? This land has no grain, no figs, no grapes, no pomegranates, and no water to drink." Now, you hear how we as a people can complain when we are in a waiting room experience. Remember the story concerning going to a doctor's office, and we sit there and wait. And when we begin to wait too long, according to our own expectations, I expect to be here 10 minutes at most. The Israelites complained to Moses. Really, they were complaining to the Lord. They were complaining to God because God brought them out of Egypt. He just used Moses as his instrument, as his earthen vessel to bring them, lead them. But it was God leading them out of Egypt. So we have to be careful about who we are talking to, either in an audible voice, complaining to in an audible voice, or in our thoughts. God knows our every thought. He knows what we think before we think it. So when we are in a holding pattern or a waiting room experience, we should not be complaining or grumbling or finding fault while we're waiting. This is what the Israelites did. And they complained, "The land has no grain, no figs, no grapes, no pomegranates, no water to drink." Verse 6, Moses and Aaron turned away from the people and went to the entrance of the tabernacle, where they fell face down on the ground. They were prostrate before the Lord. They laid on their belly, face down before the Lord in prayer. This is what they did. And this is a beautiful example of what we should be doing while we're in a waiting room experience. Whatever that experience is, we should be on our face in prayer, fervent prayer to God.
So Moses and Aaron turned away from the people and went to the entrance of the tabernacle. They went straight to the Lord in prayer. This is what we should be doing. Where they fell face down on the ground, then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord said to Moses, "You and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. As the people watch, speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock." So now let's back up. The Lord told Moses, "You and Aaron must do what? Take the staff and do what? Assemble all of the people. As the people watch," the Lord God told Moses, "speak to the rock over there." Just speak to it. And you will have enough water provided for the people as well as their animals, their livestock. Verse 9. Now, keep in the back of your mind, "speak to the rock over there." Verse 9. So Moses did as he was told. He took the staff from the place where it was kept before the Lord. Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. "Listen, you rebels," he shouted. Now this is what Moses took upon himself to say, a different translation. Now, my favorite is the New Living Translation, but let's look at it in the New King James Translation. Verse 9. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered and assembled together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels," still calling them rebels, "must we bring water for you out of this rock?" is what Moses said. "Must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Now, for the sake of capturing what we need to capture, let's back up to verse 11 and reread it again. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Now let's go back up to verse 7. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron. Gather the congregation together." Slow down. Here's the word. "Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. Now, the Lord told Moses to speak to the rock in verse 8. And when we move to verse 11, Moses did not do as the Lord God instructed him to do. So when Moses did his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, depending on his attitude, because he calls them rebels, and he sounds as though he may be angry and upset with them because of all of the back talk they were talking in the previous verses, blaming them for bringing them out of a land plenty in Egypt into a land of barren, no water, no figs, no pomegranates, no grain. So Moses in verse 11 lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Verse 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This is the consequence of what Moses and Aaron did not do. Specifically, according to what God commanded them to do, specifically, speak to the rock in verse 8. Speak to the rock, Moses, before their eyes, and it will yield its water miraculously. You just speak. I will use you as my mouthpiece. Speak to the rock. And, of course, he did not follow. He struck the rock twice with his rod. And this could be out of anger, but the teaching and the principle is that we follow God's command. While we are in a holding pattern, while we are in our waiting room experience, we are to obey, pray, and take heed to what God's still small voice is telling us to do. Indeed, we are to take heed. If we do not listen, wait on the Lord, listen to God, then we reap, we sow. Moses was not allowed, and his brother Aaron, to go into the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey. According to verse 12, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Now, that harsh consequence because I just believe that he wanted to be there. He wanted to go into the land of Canaan. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I am giving them. This was God's promise, Israelites. And as the story continues, Moses handed his staff over to Joshua. Joshua was the one God used to lead the Israelites, the congregation, into the land of milk and honey, Canaan, the place he promised. And Moses did not go. Now, let's think about that concerning us. When we are in our waiting room experience, we suffer consequences for not following God's command, listening to his voice. Don't get angry. Be patient. Be kind. Be faithful. Be gentle. Have a spirit of love. Don't allow yourself to come out of godly character. I see you've been waiting patiently for over an hour in this line or in this room or waiting for me for months and days to bring about my blessing to our heart, for us not to grumble like the Israelites did. So let's keep moving in scripture. So God told him to speak. Moses chose to strike the rock. As we look at the Israelites. Now let's take the focus off of Moses and let's look at the congregation. Israel, whom God called to come out of Egypt, he used the Israelites, the nation, the group of people, as a symbol for all of us to stay focused on him. I am your God. You are my people. And they were supposed to be the light that all other nations who served foreign gods to see, that they would be faithful to the one true God, Yahweh God, God Almighty. I am is whom he told Moses to tell Pharaoh, that I am sent you, Jehovah God. They were to be the example of faithful followers, God Almighty, Yahweh. And they did not faithfully obey. Let's look at some of their consequences of not waiting on the Lord. Let's go to Ezekiel. Old Testament book, Ezekiel chapter 5 at verse 5. Ezekiel chapter 5, and we'll read verses 5 through 17. And it reads this way. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Now, talking about the Israelites. And this is what he says. Now, I encourage you to read the whole chapter, verses 1 through the entire chapter. But we're going to jump down to 5. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. This is an illustration of what will happen to Jerusalem. I placed her at the center of the nations. Now he's talking about the Israelites, Israel. But she, as he refers to her, Israel, he refers to Israel as his bride, God being the groom. But she has rebelled against my regulations and decrees and has been even more wicked than the surrounding nations. Now, listen to how she has rebelled. She has refused to obey the regulations and decrees I gave her to follow. Therefore, this is what Sovereign Lord says. You people have behaved worse than your neighbors and have refused to obey my decrees and regulations. You have not even lived up to the standards of the nations around you. Therefore, I myself, the Sovereign Lord, am now your enemy. I will punish you publicly while all nations watch because of your detestable idols. I will punish you like I have never punished anyone before or ever will again. Parents will own children, and children will eat their parents. I will punish you and scatter to the winds the few who survive. Verse 11, as surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, I will cut you off completely. I will show you no pity at all because you have defiled my temple with your vile images and detestable sins. A third of your people will die in the city from disease and famine. A third of them will be slaughtered enemy outside the city walls. And I will scatter a third to the winds, chasing them with my sword. Then at last my anger will be spent, and I will be satisfied. And when my fury against them has subsided, all Israel will know that I, the Lord, have spoken to them in my jealous anger. Team. So I will turn you into a ruin, a mockery in the eyes of the surrounding nations. And to all who pass by, you will become an object of mockery and taunting and horror. You will be a warning to all the nations around you. They will see what happens when the Lord punishes a nation in anger and rebukes it, says the Lord. I will shower you with the deadly arrows of famine to destroy you. The famine will become more and more severe until every crumb of food is gone. Along with the famine, wild animals will attack you and rob you of your children. Disease and war will stalk your land, and I will bring the sword of the enemy against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, this is what we do not want to have to experience when we rebel, disobey, go opposite of what God tells us to do while we're in a waiting room or a waiting experience. This is what we do not want to have to deal with, the consequences. But Israel, they refuse to obey. As long as the Israelites honored the Lord, destroyed idol temples, and kept God's commandments, the Lord was actively involved in their defense when other nations fought against them. But when they do not obey, when they did rebel against God, then this is the heat of his judgment, consequences on their behavior. Let's go to Ezekiel 20, chapter 20, and read verse 8. They just continue to rebel against God. They wanted to satisfy their flesh. They wanted to do what the other nations were doing, bowing down to graven images, wooden images, all sorts of images, creating little gods in their life. And he said, I did not bring you up out of Egypt for you to do what Egypt does. Listen to what he says in Ezekiel 20. Verse 8, but they rebelled against me and would not listen. And here they go again. They did not get rid of the vile images they obsessed with. Now, or forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I threatened to pour out my fury on them to satisfy my anger while they were still in Egypt. This is what they continued to do, not rid themselves of idols, lowercase G-O-D. Let's drop down to verse 27 in the same chapter of Ezekiel, and we'll read verse 27. Therefore, son of man, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. Now, this is God. Your ancestors continued to blaspheme and betray me. For when I brought them into the land I had promised them, They offered sacrifices on every high hill and under every green tree they saw. They roused my fury as they offered up sacrifices to their gods, lowercase G-O-D-S. They brought their perfumes and incense and poured out their liquid to them. Verse 29. I said to them, what is this high place where you are going? This kind of pagan shrine has been called Bahma, high place, ever since. Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. Do you plan to pollute yourselves? Just do you intend to keep prostituting yourselves by worshiping vile images? For when you offer gifts to them and give your little children to be burned as sacrifices, you continue to pollute yourselves with idols to this day. Should I allow you to ask for a message from me, O people of Israel? As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I will tell you nothing. He's saying, I won't even hear or answer your prayers. 32. You say we want to be like the nations all around us who serve idols of wood and stone. But what you have in mind will never happen. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I will rule over you with an iron fist, in great anger and with awesome power. And in anger, I will reach out with my strong hand and powerful arm, and I will bring you back from the lands where you are scattered. I will bring you into the wilderness of the nations, and there I will judge you face to face. I will judge you there just as I did your ancestors in the wilderness after bringing them out of Egypt, says the Lord. Examine you carefully and hold you to the terms of the covenant. I will purge you of all those who rebel and revolt against me. I will bring them out of the countries where they are in exile, but they will never enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Verse 39. So as for you, O people of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Go right ahead and worship your idols, but sooner or later you will obey me and will bring shame on my holy name by worshiping idols. For on my holy mountain, the great mountain of Israel, says the Lord, sovereign Lord, the people of Israel will someday worship me, and I will accept them. There I will require that you bring me all your offerings and choice gifts and sacrifices. Verse 41, when I bring you home from exile, you will be like a pleasing sacrifice to me. I will display my holiness through you as all the nations watch. Then when I have brought you home to the land I promised with a solemn oath to give to your ancestors, you will know that I am the Lord. You will look back on all the ways you defiled yourselves and will hate yourselves because of the evil you have done. Verse 44, you will know that I am the Lord, O people of Israel, when I have honored my name by treating you mercifully in spite of your wickedness. I, sovereign Lord, have spoken. Amen and amen. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, as we read through that passage of Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 27 and 44, if it did not convict me, when I am in a waiting room experience, I tell you, it would be to our best interest to keep our minds stayed on Him. Unlike the Israelites, they continued to rebel generation after generation after generation. Ever since God brought them out of Egypt, a generation would die, He raised up another generation. They would do the same thing as the last. They would rebel against God. They would thirst and hunger for foreign gods. They would carve images and create idols out of those images that were not what God commanded them to do, according to the Ten Commandments. He is a jealous God, and we are to worship Him, fall prostrate, drop to our knees and cry and pray out to Him and Him alone. No one else, nothing else. The only one true God, Yahweh God, Jehovah God, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. So I pray and hope that some of these characters in Scripture has opened your eyes to see that the consequences of not waiting can be devastating in our life. So it is God's blessing that His children would wait on the Lord, according to Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 31. But those who trust in the Lord will find strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, they will walk and not faint. God's strength in the waiting is our strength. We draw strength from Him. As we saw Moses, as we saw the Israelites, as we see ourselves from time to time in thought, in deeds, and in words. It is for us to not have to suffer the consequences of our disobedience. Allow our faith to be stretched. Allow our faith to grow according to Scripture. Matthew 21, verse 22 says, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have
faith. Listen to Hebrews 11, verse 6. And with faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So it would be our benefit, our blessing to seek God while we are in the waiting. It's in the waiting that we receive our blessing. He brings us through every waiting room experience. Our faith comes by hearing him and hearing him through the word of Christ. My brothers and my sisters, this brings us to the end of this particular broadcast. And we will continue to walk through this teaching series when you're in the waiting room. I tell you, it would be a blessing for us when we extend our hand to others to come into the ark of salvation. They are done waiting in a world that leads to destruction. But when they come into the understanding and the willingness and the love of a free gift called salvation, Jesus is there waiting for them. So I pray a prayer of salvation that you would come to understand and willingly want to know who Jesus is, that he will come into your heart and change you from the inside out. Others will come to know him too as you proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's pray a prayer of salvation. And I encourage you to extend your hand and give him your heart, that he would enter in and live, that you would be born again and live. So let's pray. Lord God, here I am. I come with extended hands and a humble heart to you. As I come to you the best way I know how, and that is to ask. I have nothing that I can give. Offer myself total surrender to you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. It was his redeeming blood that covered, that paid the price that I could not pay. Lord, I believe by faith that you are my Redeemer. I know you didn't have to, but you did for me. And Lord, here I am. Forgive me for my sins in thought, word, and deed, Lord God, for I am a person of unclean lips. I surrender myself to you, that I will receive today you as my Savior. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank God that you have accepted Jesus. The angels are rejoicing. I encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church, that you would be baptized by submersion of water, and seek out a small group, a Bible study within the church, that you would be discipled so that you could grow and go in grace, and continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio as another way to grow and go in God's Word. And
So it is such a joy to just know that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So hallelujah, praise the Lord that you have done that. It is the best thing that you could have ever done, and that is to accept Jesus as the Savior. So this is the end of this lesson for today, and we will pick back up on next week and look at speaking life while we are in the waiting room. Always remember that the grass wither and the flowers fade away, but the word of God will remain forever and ever. God bless you, my brothers and sisters, and you continue to enjoy the rest of your day. Stay faithful to God and faithful to His word. God bless you.